In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, comfort of the afflicted, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On this Sunday of Lent, as we approach Holy Week, which begins a week from today, the Church shows us in the Gospel the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And of all the miracles of our Lord, I might say this is the second most amazing. Of course, the first one, the most amazing, is his own resurrection from the dead, that our Lord has power over death itself. But he gives a preview, you might say, an inkling of this power in the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, who we know was in the tomb already 4 days, and Martha even comments, you know, that he already, the corruption has set in. Our Lord wanted to make sure that no one would have any doubt that Lazarus was truly dead. You know, he wasn't just dead for a minute or two, or somebody might think, well, maybe he wasn't really dead because maybe he was just asleep. But it was quite clear after being in the tomb for 4 days that Lazarus was dead as anybody could be dead. And our Lord manifests his glory by the simple command of his words, "Lazarus, come out," to show that he has power over death, and which, as he always wanted to show us and continued to show his disciples, when he told the Pharisees, you know, he was curing the man who was sick, "Your sins are forgiven." And they said, "Only God can forgive sins." And then he said, "To show you that not only do I have the power to forgive sins, but also to heal, you know, rise up, take up your mat and walk." Because we know that the reason why death entered into the world is because of sin. And so our Lord is showing by these manifestations of raising people from the dead that he is also, therefore, has power over the cause of death, which is sin. And he will clearly make that quite evident on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when he suffers death himself, undergoes all the sins of the world, and is put in the tomb, and on the third day rises from the grave gloriously. Now, Lazarus' resurrection was not to a glorious life. Lazarus was raised from the dead and had to continue living this normal, this life that we all live on this side of the shadow of death. He had to go back to this type of life and would again experience death for the second time when he would finally go to eternity. But Lazarus, his story is interesting because it doesn't say it in this particular passage. And what is interesting about it is how hard-hearted the Pharisees were, those who were the enemies of our Lord, because it says at the end of this passage of Lazarus, which isn't included in this gospel, that when they saw our Lord work this miracle and Lazarus was raised from the dead, they said that they also said they had to kill him too. Now, if someone was dead in the tomb for 4 days and you saw that person raised from the dead, and that person was your worst enemy who did that, you would think that they would at least begin to think, "Wow, this man is truly powerful. We should change our opinion about him." But instead, not only were they going to kill our Lord, but they wanted to kill Lazarus, who was evidence of his great power and his great work. And that these men, the Pharisees, who were so hardened in their sin, that even the raising of Lazarus from the dead would not convinced him. And this brings us back to the other Lazarus we heard in the gospel, the poor Lazarus who was the poor man at the rich man's table who got the scraps. And when he died, you remember, he went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man went to hell. And, you know, the rich man saw Lazarus with Abraham and said, you know, go and give me a little water and so I can slake my thirst. And they told him, you know, that we can't. There's this big chasm between you and us, and we can't cross over. And the rich man says to Abraham, says, well, go and tell my brothers, you know, that about this place of suffering, so that they will not end up here too. And Abraham says, no. He says, it's not possible. He said, well, surely if Lazarus goes there and tells them about that, that they will be convinced. And he said, even if a man were to rise from the dead and to appear to them, they would not believe. And this shows you how clearly that that Lazarus did rise from the dead, this Lazarus, and they still refused to believe in the hardness of their hearts, that our Lord gives each one of us free will. And even these great astounding miracles that he worked, their hearts were so hardened that they would not believe in our Lord's resurrection and would not believe in him as being the Son of God. Although Martha and Mary and Lazarus and all the humble people recognized who our Lord was and gave him the true worship that he deserved. And we must be mindful of this today in our world that, you know, we have the opportunity to, by especially in Catholic radio or Catholic evangelization, we have the opportunity to spread the message of our Lord's great miracles and power, that he does have power over life and death. He has power over sin. Only he and those whom he gives that power to in the priesthood, we know, can forgive sins. And that is such an important message that needs to be constantly repeated in every age. G.K. Chesterton even said that the thing that finally convinced him of what was the true religion was, he said, I realized that the true religion is that religion that could forgive my sins. You know, that if it can't do that, if it can't give me the forgiveness of my sins, then that religion has real no value. And that is what our Lord came to do. He came to free us from sin and its power. And of course, on the resurrection on the last day will be the complete and fulfillment of that. But already he gives us this great victory in the sacrament of baptism, which we know washes away all sin, even actual sin, of an adult, and wipes it clear, makes them like a newborn child in Christ. And then he gives us confession for the forgiveness of sins after baptism, because our Lord does not want us to remain in sin. He does not want the power of sin to have any kind of rule over us. And he gives us that ability by giving us the sacrament to forgive us our sins, but also gives us the life of grace that we may live his new life, this life of grace that our Lord won for us and obtained for us from his passion, death, and resurrection. It's a message that needs to be truly repeated every age because, of course, mankind is always in need of evangelization. And because till the end time, there will always be need to hear the good news, the news that Jesus has risen from the dead and has shared this life with us. We know that there are people even today out there who are enemies of Christ, who don't want to hear the good news and do not want people to believe in Jesus. And you can see it even in this constant battle that is between good and evil, even today. And Catholic radio and those who are involved in Catholic radio are involved in that same battle today, to always get the message out, the truth. As Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And your work that you do may seem to be sometimes, you may not see the effects of it or the fruit of your labors, but know that you are with Christ in proclaiming the good news, and that it cannot go out, into the world without having an effect. As our Lord even said, that the rain goes out on the just and the unjust, but and that it doesn't come back until, you know, it has done its duty. Well, even if something is the natural elements, does the work of God, even more so, those who are involved in the work that is closest to Christ's heart, which is to proclaim the good news, to tell them of his great love for them, cannot be without fruit. And so our labors are very important in the vineyard of the church. And we continue to ask, especially the help of Our Lady in this work. She who was the first and greatest disciple of our Lord, the first missionary of Christ, who brought him to John and Elizabeth in that house at Ein Kurin. And truly did Our Lady work for the efforts of Christ. And so we must ask Our Lady and give her our efforts, and ask Our Lady to bless our efforts as we continue to also proclaim the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that he has shared this life with us. And that, as Paul said, we are already sharing in this resurrected life through baptism. And that when we have been baptized with him, we've been baptized into his life, but we've also been baptized into his death. That means that we must also be ready and willing to suffer with him and to suffer for him for the sake of the good news and for the salvation of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.